speaking the truth in love, how the church grows in maturity. Before we go on to this particularly, I wanted to say that people sometimes give themselves to what they consider as a glorious cause. For example, the London Marathon. Now, I know in this room there is one or two that do marathons or half marathons. I won't name you. But some people give themselves, and these are very noble causes. I know someone who's going to run the London Marathon soon to raise money for a charity. And it apparently uses up all the glycogen in your body. It really is a killer. But do you know that every year 40,000 people sign up for it? They give themselves to this glorious cause. Now, I don't know whether you've heard of this one. This was around the year 2012 up until 2019 when they went bankrupt. But there was an expedition being planned by a Dutch entrepreneur to send people to Mars on a one-way ticket. And they were told up front, you will be sent to Mars. We've got the technology to get you to Mars. You'll get there. You'll live there for a bit in a little colony, and then you'll die. We are not bringing you home. But you will go down as famous people for the glorious cause of being the first people on Mars. Do you know how many people signed up to go and die on Mars? 100,000 people wanted to have a one-way trip to Mars. You could say that's a glorious cause or a rather daft one.
Was it their wives or
something? It may have been the wives. Yes. Thank you, David. Now, I don't know if you've seen this old movie from 1993 with Anthony Hopkins, one of my favourite actors, but he plays a butler. The film's called Remains of the Day, and he gives his whole life to the cause of serving this Lord Darlington. And he gives his life to it, he lives for this, until one day, set in the 1930s, he finds out that Lord Darlington is a Nazi sympathiser. And he comes at the end of his life with regret, saying, I have wasted my life giving myself to something that wasn't worth it. And sometimes in life, when we give ourselves to things, whatever it may be, career, it's okay. But sometimes you've got to ask yourself, is it really worth all of my blood, sweat, toil and tears? Or is there something greater? And I want to tell you this, that in the Bible, the church is God's project. God has invested himself in the church. He gave his son to die on the cross for the church. The church, in the end, however weak it may seem at times, will be the thing that succeeds. It's God's project. And it says in Ephesians, we haven't read this today, that God wants to bring to unity all things in heaven and earth under King Jesus. Under Christ. You know, I know of a church in Jordan. I haven't been to Jordan, but I know that on the eldership or leadership, they've got a Palestinian Arab who's a Christian. They've got a Jewish Israeli who's a Christian. I'm not sure if I'm getting this right, but I think they've got, you know, complete opposites, like a Syrian and a Kurd and a Ukrainian and a Russian on the leadership. And you think, well, how does that happen? They hate each other normally. In Christ, he brings people together to make a glorious church. And this is God's project, right? When Jesus died on the cross, he took away the separation between us and God, between us and each other, and it's God's project. So why am I saying this? I'm telling you guys, whatever church you're in, give yourself to God's project. Or give yourself to Jesus, first of all, of course. But serving the Lord for the church in whatever way is not something that you will regret at the end and go, like Anthony Hopkins, oh, I wasted my life. Because it's God's project. Now, the church, it says, it's through the church that the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God, will be made known. You might look at your church or this church and think, well, how much wisdom are we showing? But you know, the church, it's like a show home. Did you know that? It's like a show home. I don't know if you been to a building site near my parents live in Cornwall, and near their house there's this messy old building site with mud and bricks and all things, but there's a nice completed show home. All right, and you look at the building site and you go, well, that's a mess. But then you see the show home and you think, well, that's what the future is going to be like. I've got an idea. So that's what these houses are going to look like. Well, The church is a picture of what humanity is going to look like in the new creation in the future when everyone is united into Jesus, those who believe in him. The church is like a show home, a picture of what will be. But the world at the moment, as you all know, is a complete mess. It's a muddy building site. It's not even a building site half the time. It's just mess, war. But the church is God's show home for what will be one day. So it's worth investing your life in. Now, what was read today by Debbie was that Christ himself has given to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, right, sort of gifts. But what I want to really highlight for you all today is this. They are given not so you can applaud them, not so you can think, oh, what an amazing person. They are given to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So in other words, the people that really count is the congregation. Okay, some people think church is like a football match. Sorry, Debbie, that is Liverpool, I believe. But anyway, she loves Liverpool. But, you know, some people think church is like you go as a spectator and you watch the professional players on the pitch, you know, the pastor and the leaders do their stuff, and then you go home. But, you know, church is not like that. This is what church is supposed to be. A coach, that's meant to be someone like me, encouraging the players. Who are the ones that score the goals? It's all you lot. If you excuse me calling you, you lot. The players, the congregation are the ones who God really has his eye on. He's the ones he wants to equip for works of service so that the church will be built up. You are the ones that score the goals. You are the ones that get the cup. The leadership, all they are is like the coach trying to encourage you to do that. They are not ultimately the people that count. I'm sure the leadership team won't mind me saying that. It's the players that count. I read of this church in America, which has got this sign outside, or it's on a bulletin. It's really good. It's got the name of the pastor, Mr. Blah, 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 the name of the leadership, blah, 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 and then it's got this. Ministers, the entire congregation. You know, you are the ministers. The pastor is there to sort of help you, teach you, but you're the ones that, using your gifts, however small the gift you think might be, you are the ones that will build up the church. You are the football players. You are the ministers. Who are the ministers at Christ Church Ewell? Everyone here. The ministry of all believers. That is a truth that I really felt to say today. Now you might sit there thinking, well, I haven't got a gift. What can I do? Well, if you read earlier in Ephesians, it says this. To each one, grace has been given. You've all got a gift. You do. Don't look in the mirror and say, I've got no gifts. You have, whatever it is. And it says, he gave gifts to his people. It's found in Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. Now you might look at your gift and think, it's like a few crumbs. Just a few crumbs. We know crumbs can become loaves in God's hands. You know, he fed 5,000 people with a little lunchbox from a little kid. You know that story? It's a picture of how you give what you've got to Jesus and he'll make it bless people. You are the ministers. You are the football. You are the, who's the famous footballer? I don't know any names. Who's that? Maradona? Was he one? You're the Maradonas. You're the people. And I want to encourage you that you are the ministers. And our job as leaders is simply to spur you on. All right? Now, church is therefore not like a cinema where you just go along when you're in the mood. Watch a movie. You know, church isn't like that. Church is not a petrol station where you go in and fill up when you feel you need. You know, I'll go along to church today just to fill up. It's been a bit of a fix. Church is not a supermarket where you go along as a consumer going, oh, I fancy a look at that. I'll take that. Oh, I don't want that. And you go along. It's not there just for you to receive, although it is that as well. The Bible says that church is like a body, a human body. All right? It says it in our reading, from him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So in a church, you are part of a body. And as you do your bit, whatever it is, it helps the church grow. And some people think that they're not important. Some people think, oh, I can have a day off. I mean, it's okay to go on holiday. Don't get me wrong. You're allowed to have holidays occasionally. No, you are allowed to have holidays. But what I'm trying to say is you can't have this attitude, oh, well, I can just coast along as a Christian in the church. I'm not the pastor. I'm not the leadership. I'm just going to coast along. I take my foot off the accelerator. I'm not going to pray for a week or two. I'm just going to go and sin a bit, actually. I don't need to go to church today. I'm not on the rota. I'm not on the rotas today. You know, can I say a quick joke? They say church is like a helicopter. Because the closer you get to it, you get sucked into the rotas. But, you know, some people say, I'm not on the rotas today. So they go, well, I don't need to coast up. Well, can I tell you, that's not true. Your pancreas cannot say to the body, I think I'll have a day off today. Your liver cannot say to your body, I think I'll have a day off today. We're all needed. We're all needed. And you're all very, very important ministers and football players, if you like that analogy. And as each part of the body does its work, and as each part is equipped and just uses whatever gift they've got, whatever it is, the church will become mature and grow. It says there, just let me quickly read that. So the pastors and teachers give to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith, that's unity, knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. A church growing up means people are becoming more and more like Jesus. Did you know one day you're all going to be like Christ? If you believe, you might go, no way. Well, it says it in the Bible. He who's begun a good work in you will complete it one day. You will become like Jesus if you trust him, his character, his godliness, his love. Okay, now, growing up to become mature. Now, we all love babies, don't we? Babies are cute. Aww. But, you know, unless they keep you up all night. But it's not good that they stay that way forever. I heard this funny saying. I must share it with you. It goes like this. Small children, when they're tiny, they think their parents are infallible. And then small children, when they go to primary school, they think their teachers are infallible.
The children, when they become teenagers, think they are infallible.
But I've never met a parent who wants their child to stay a teenager. Never met one. Because in the end, maturity and responsibility is what counts. And if we use our gifts and believe we are the ministers, you're all the ministers, not the pastor, then the church will become mature. And there's also another secret to growing into maturity as a church. And that's this, what we're talking about. Speaking the truth in love. It says, speaking the truth in love, we will all, in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. What does that mean, speaking the truth in love? I don't know fully, but I got a few ideas. One is this. We should all be on the encouragement rota all of the time. You know, we have a rota for coffee, we have a rota for creche, we have a rota for, you know, the leading the service, and a rota for welcome, and these are all wonderful things. But we don't have a rota called the encouragement rota. We don't say, oh, today Tony's on encouragement, do we? Someone else is on discouragement. No. the point is, we should always be on the encouragement rota. Speaking the truth in love means encouraging people with things that are true about them, what the Bible says about them, what the gospel says about them. It's encouraging each other, and it can be done all the time. We should always be on the encouragement rota. And let me just say this. You might say, speaking the truth, when does that happen? In the sermon. Yeah, okay, a little bit. Speaking the truth, does it happen in the songs? Yes, a little bit. The bits of the service. But you know when it should be happening? At coffee time. Having over your coffee. Now, of course, you can talk if you want about the FA Cup or the government, Liz Truss, if you want to talk about that. But don't be afraid, over coffee, just encourage each other with truth. You know, I don't mean get all heavy, but you know, it's okay to mention the sermon in your coffee time, unless it was really dire. It's okay to bring up a Bible verse. You don't have to be afraid. It's okay to say, you know, God loves you. God thinks you're wonderful. It's okay to say things like that, even over coffee, not just through the sermon. You can even send texts to each other in the week, encouragement texts to each other. Go to a growth group, a midweek group. And don't leave it all to the leaders. Maybe in the group you can chat over things that are true. I don't know if any of you meet up one-to-one for a coffee, for a walk. You can be speaking the truth in love then, discussing gospel truth, or even look at a few Bible verses. I know you might think it's a bit heavy to open a Bible, but you can, there's nothing uncool about saying, well, what does the Bible say about you? You know, it's okay to share truth in our chit-chat, in our day, as you drop the kids off, as you're doing the washing up, as you're watching a movie. You can. Obviously, don't force it, because people will avoid you if you do it too much. But we are encouraged to speak the truth in love, and this is why, because it will cause the church to mature. Go and encourage each other. And also, speaking the truth doesn't just mean talking, it means living it. Live a truthful life. Don't live an honest life. People know, people can smell if you're a fake. And speaking the truth in love might also mean sometimes correcting people. But the good thing about that is you've got to do it in love, and you've got to do it at the right time. Timely, truthful correction. Now, some people are only about the truth. I've met one or two. They're a bit hard. You know, it's just the truth. And they're like a stone. They're zealous for the truth, and that's great. But there's no love about it. Then other people, and I can slip into this tendency if I'm not careful, you can be so nice. You're just so nice. You're like a puddle of water. No substance. You know, it's okay to be nice. I think God wants us to be nice to each other. But if it's just being nice with no truth ever, it's okay, but it won't really. So what God really wants, he wants us to be like clay, right? So clay is a mixture of the stone, the truth, and the water, the love. And with clay, the thing with clay is you can actually build something out of it. You can make a pot. You know, pottery class, do you remember that? God wants you to have truth and love. And Jesus died for us to make all of this part of his church. And I just want to finish by saying this. A child in a family obviously needs the love from parents, yeah? They need to know that they're loved. But you know what child psychologists have said? Child psychologists have said, actually, an even greater need is that they see the mum and dad loving each other. And that will actually build into them something very important. And I want to say that non-Christians, people we're trying to reach, they obviously need our love, but they need to see love between the Christians, you know? You might think, there's no point being loving to my Christian friend. There's no point speaking the truth in love. But the world, at times, is watching. Jesus said this, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Love each other for the sake of the non-Christian as well as for each other. Speak the truth in love. And above all, Jesus died to win himself a church. And you are the ministers. You are the ministers, not the guy at the front. You are the ministers. You are the players. God has given you all gifts. And he wants you to use them to build up the church that he has died for. So whether it be making the tea, doing the road test, whatever, go for it. Go for it. God will grow the church. Amen.